Welcome to Innovation Alberta, a celebration of science, research, and the inventive spirit. I'm Cheryl Croucher. The Ernest C. Manning Awards Foundation hosted its 25th Manning Innovation Awards Gala in Calgary recently. The prestigious awards honored inventors from across the country, people who've made significant contributions to the treatment of coronary disease, lab research, new media, and photography. And the 2007 Venture Prize Business Plan Competition is about to start. Jay Chrysler outlines how your high-tech idea could win you $180,000 in prizes. And iCorp Professor Dr. Kerry Williamson is the man behind the planning of the 16th International World Wide Web Conference. This will bring internet superstars to Banff next spring. These stories coming up in the next half hour on Innovation Alberta. The Hyatt Regency Hotel in Calgary was the site of the 25th Manning Innovation Awards ceremony. Established in 1980 by Alberta oilman Dave Mitchell, the Ernest C. Manning Awards Foundation honors not just the memory of a great premier, but the innovative accomplishments of Canadians. Just before the awards ceremony began, I spoke with the foundation's executive director, Bruce Fenwick.
The nominations are great, and as you can see from the winners, they go from coast to coast, and they're excellent innovations, excellent innovators, and super.
What is it that you look for when you are selecting from all of these nominations?
Well, they're based on the five criteria we have. One is intellectual achievement, if you will. How much thought has to go into it. Secondly, is the uniqueness and originality. Thirdly, the development. Has it really been fully developed? Fourthly, commercialization. Do people really care? And are people buying it or whatever? And so on. And fifthly, general benefits. You know, is it creating employment or creating attention to your area or to Canada and so on?
What do you think has been the contribution of the Manning Innovation Awards to the whole innovation scene in Canada?
Oh, I think it's been terrific. I mean, innovation is now starting to be really understood to be important. You know, 25 years ago, people hardly knew the word, and it's been a tremendous thing for raising the profile of innovation, but creating confidence and motivation and so on in the people who win and their friends and the people that see about it. And they say, yeah, Canadians really can do it and can make wonderful things happen.
The foundation is now heading into its second quarter century. Do you have anything new planned?
Well, you know, we just finished doing a whole bunch of new things this summer. We've got a new website just came on stream. We got a new booklet of the winners and so on, and we've done a lot more public relations. The biggest thing that we've done in the last year or so that I think we're going to want to try to expand is the chapters concept, whereby across the country we have regional chapters who celebrate their nominees in the area, qualified nominees, and not just, so it's not just a once a year we celebrate the winning ones, but we celebrate the nominees in the region, and that is really starting to take hold in various areas.
Thank you very much, Bruce.
Okay, thank you.
That was Bruce Fenwick, Executive Director of the Ernest C. Manning Awards Foundation. The largest prize in the Manning Innovation Awards is worth $100,000. The winners of this year's principal prize went to two Vancouver doctors who developed a drug delivery device to treat coronary artery disease. Doctors Bill Hunter and Lindsay McCann are co-founders of AngioTech Pharmaceuticals, Inc.
Well, basically, metallic stents were designed maybe 15, 16 years ago to open up the arteries of the heart. And the problem was that the body recognized that steel shouldn't be there, and scar would grow over top of the stent, and it would block the artery again, and the patient would come back with chest pain and other symptoms. And what Lindsay and I worked on years ago was the idea of putting a drug on the stent that would prevent the scar from growing and would keep the stent open so the patient wouldn't have to be treated again.
And Lindsay, could you explain to me what got you working on this?
Well, I was one of the physicians putting those metal cylinders in, and we were seeing that tissue was growing in response to this. And so one day we had regular rounds, and I went to hear a medical student named Bill Hunter give a talk about his research that he'd done prior to medical school in the area of rheumatoid arthritis. And what Bill had come up with was a way of preventing tissue from growing where it wasn't supposed to be. And so I told Bill about stents and other interventional radiology procedures, and thought that perhaps there was a way that we could use what he was doing with what we were doing.
So what were the challenges that you faced?
Well, there are many. I think among them was literally getting started was just convincing other people that really this was a logical thing to do. You know, the idea of putting a drug on a stent to most people seemed very foreign. And the first thought was that, in fact, that it would actually compound things, would actually make things worse eventually.
Bill, how long did it take to commercialize this?
I didn't have gray hair then. Let's see, we started in 92, and we launched in Europe in 2003, and in the U.S. in 2004, so 9-10 years.
What do you think has been the impact of this?
Well, we treat about a little over 1 million people a year right now, and whereas a traditional bare metal stent would fail 25-30% of the time, the drug-coated stents only fail 3% of the time. So that probably means 200,000-odd people that don't have to be reoperated on every year. The numbers overwhelm me because I'm not really sure I grasp what that actually means, but I think it's had a pretty big impact in a lot of cardiac patient lives.
Lindsay, I have to ask you this. I understand you're a Drayton Valley boy.
That's right. Yeah, I grew up in Drayton Valley and did all my schooling there and then went to university in Edmonton.
Now, this must be a great honor for you, winning this principal prize at the Manning Innovation Awards. What does it really mean to you?
It means a huge amount, actually. First of all, just Ernest Manning was somebody, you know, when I grew up, he was the premier, and he was this iconic figure that was sort of revered, really, in Alberta. It seems strange to talk about a politician in those terms these days, but he really was then. So to win an award named after him is very satisfying, but also just to get recognition from the Manning Foundation, which is really, I think, the premier innovation award in Canada, it really means a lot.
Well, thank you very much, and congratulations, Lindsay.
Thank you very much.
And congratulations to you too, Bill.
Thank you.
That was Dr. Bill Hunter, president of AngioTech Pharmaceuticals, Inc., and the company's co-founder, Dr. Lindsay McCann, who's an associate professor of medicine at the University of British Columbia. The pair are winners of the $100,000 principal prize at this year's Manning Innovation Awards. Toronto researcher Dr. Stuart Foster has revolutionized medical research with his invention of an ultrasound imaging system. This new system won him the $25,000 Award of Distinction at the Manning Innovation Awards.
It's a form of ultrasound that's been scaled in such a way as to provide extremely high definition of tissue. And by that, I mean to resolve structures that are less than, say, the diameter of a hair or something like that. Very, very fine structures. And it's particularly useful for studying small areas of anatomy, such as the eye or skin in humans, but it's extremely useful in studying small animals like mice that are used in biomedical research. And that's really where the idea has taken off commercially.
Where did you get the idea to do this in the first place?
I got the idea from my colleagues who, about 10 years ago, were in the middle of something called the Human Genome Project, where we're identifying all the genes. Now we know there are about 30,000 genes, but what those genes do is not really very clear. So one way to find out what they do is to modify them in a small animal system like the mouse and be able to establish what these genes actually do and what they contribute. And it's particularly important to look at how they're involved in diseases like cardiovascular disease, cancer, everything else. AIDS, intrauterine growth retardation, and that sort of thing.
Well, now that you've commercialized this, what impact has it had?
Well, the impact, from the company's point of view, is it's created jobs for about 80 people at this point, and also created instruments that are used around the world. So our scanners are used in biomedical research labs pretty much at every major institution, and also the larger drug companies as well, contributing to their studies and the growth of our knowledge of how things evolve and how things grow and how disease processes work in small animals and ultimately in humans.
You're being recognized today with an award for your innovation from the Manning Innovation Awards Foundation. How is that going to help you?
I think Canadians are a little bit slow to recognize some of their achievements, and I think the Manning Foundation is very important from the point of view that it provides awards, not just at the higher level awards, but awards to younger people who are developing careers in science. And I think it helps to create a culture that teaches younger people that science is cool and you can be successful doing it. And I think that's a very valuable contribution.
What's next for you?
Well, we're going to continue to develop this kind of imaging instrumentation, and in particular we're going to focus on developing tools for not just imaging the structure of the tissue and a little bit about the function, but actually imaging the molecules in the tissue directly, especially the molecules that are involved in the diseases that are of interest to us, like cancer and cardiovascular disease. So we want to detect those critical molecules that are the hallmarks of the disease, and then be able to create therapies that are tailored to those particular molecules to shut them down.
Well, it sounds like really exciting research. Congratulations on your award.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
That was Dr. Stuart Foster, a professor and associate chair in the Department of Medical Biophysics at the University of Toronto. He was honored at the recent Manning Innovation Awards with the $25,000 Award of Distinction. There's a new way of delivering advertising messages to subway passengers, and that was developed by Winnipeg animator Bradley Carrick. Now vice president of Sidetrack Technologies, Inc., Bradley's invention won him a $10,000 Innovation Award from the Ernest C. Manning Awards Foundation.
If you ride a subway train and you leave a station to go to the next station, inside the tunnels there's 400 pictures, and those pictures turn into full motion animation, so it looks like you're watching television, and it's for 15 seconds. So a lot of advertisers are taking advantage of that type of medium now.
What gave you the idea to do this?
Well, the idea happened back in 2000. I have a partner in that. His name is Rob Walker, and he flew around the world with the aerospace industry and rode plenty of subways. On an unrelated coffee that we had, he asked me, do you think you could do anything with the walls? So then after about 6 months later, I had this idea and developed it further on all computer simulated, and it came out from that.
So how are they actually put up on the walls?
They're actually reflective art posters. They're about 3 feet by 2 feet, and they're just printed. Each individual poster is slightly different than the next poster, and each of them has its own independent light. When you go by with the motion of the train, the lights flash very fast, and it creates full motion. It's like the old flip card type of thing, the cartoons. So that's how it works. That's the principle of it.
Where is it being used now?
It's all over the world. We're developing new markets all the time, but right now we've got closest to home is in Boston. We're building in San Francisco right now. We have Mexico City, Monterrey, Mexico, Rio de Janeiro, London, England, Moscow. We have more to come as well.
What does it mean to you then, getting this recognition from the Manning Foundation?
Well, it's one big surprise, that's for sure, and it's fantastic. It's great for Canadians to be recognized like this, and I'm honored. I didn't expect it whatsoever. I mean, we work diligently at what we do, and that's what we love to do, and when something like this comes up, it's a real treat.
Well, congratulations, and thank you very much, Bradley.
Thank you very much.
That was Bradley Carrick, Vice President of Winnipeg Sidetrack Technologies, Inc. He received a $10,000 Innovation Award at the recent Manning Innovation Awards Gala. Also recognized at the Manning Innovation Awards was Rod Hale and his colleagues at ISIS Intelligent Systems Solutions of St. John's, Newfoundland. Now, anybody who's had photographs marred by red devil eyes will welcome Rod's invention.
We actually have developed a software solution for the phenomenon of red eyes in digital images. So essentially, our software runs autonomously in the background, finds and removes all red eye in digital photos.
What causes that red eye?
It's actually related to the relationship between how far the flash is from the focal length. So it's actually worse with smaller digital cameras, and it's actually a reflection from the flash off the blood vessels in the retina hitting the lens.
So what does your software program do? How does it actually work to get rid of that?
You know, it's a fairly complicated process, but essentially we look for red things, circular things in an image, and look for information around that red thing so we don't mistake polka dots and that sort of thing on shirts and ties. And from all that information, we decide whether or not it's a red eye and make the appropriate correction.
Where did the idea for this come from?
When we started 5 years ago, we were looking for a novel product to develop. And a local company in St. John's who were doing some work in this industry had mentioned that there was no actual solution for automated red eye removal. So we thought, hey, let's give it a try. That's where we started.
What impact has this had now? Like, how big has your company grown? How far afield does this software go?
We're licensed in, I think it's 10 licensees in 9 countries. Our first customer was Sony in Japan, so it's been quite successful. We're probably on half of the photo kiosks that are currently out there, and several large photo finishers, so it's been quite good.
Now, there's 3 of you who are involved in this, but you're here by yourself. Where are your colleagues?
Actually, unfortunately, this ceremony collided with the largest trade show in our industry in Germany. So we decided that I would attend a couple of days of the trade show, and I flew back here for the award ceremony, and my other two colleagues are staying behind doing business.
What does it mean to you being recognized this way by the Manning Innovation Foundation?
It's a great honor. I mean, the Manning Awards have certainly promoted the entrepreneurship, and you know, we hope that now we can showcase this back in Atlantic Canada and get more people involved in the starting their own businesses and prove that it can be done.
Congratulations, Rod.
Thank you very much.
That was Rod Hale, Vice President of Product Development with ISIS Intelligent Systems Solutions in St. John's, Newfoundland. Rod was the recipient of a $10,000 Innovation Award at the Manning Innovation Awards Ceremony in Calgary. The deadline for nominations for the 2007 Manning Innovation Awards is December 1st. Tech Edmonton is ready to launch the 2007 VenturePrize Business Plan Competition. Now heading into its 5th year, past winners of the VenturePrize have included Scanometrics, SciMed Laboratories, and ProExams, all Alberta companies based on innovative technologies that are gaining international clients. VenturePrize is province-wide, and this year includes a category for student business plans. Jay Kreisler is the project manager for VenturePrize.
This year we have two categories. We have our fast growth enterprise category again that will have prizes awarded of over $180,000 in cash and in-kind services. And we also this year are working on a student category. Student category has two regions, one in the north and one in the south. The regions will be running their own competitions for students. It's open to all full and part-time students submitting business plans. What VenturePrize will do is we will select 3 finalists from the northern division and 3 finalists from the southern division, and those 6 will be semi-finalists for the Alberta Student Technology Business Plan Competition.
Now, the VenturePrize is actually quite a commitment because it starts now and it carries on right into the new year. What's coming up right away?
Okay. In the northern Alberta, the student one, you need to register as a student participant by October 20th. That allows the students can basically participate free, and that allows the student to attend the seminar series, this video conference. It starts October 25th, and it runs for 6 Wednesdays, finishes November 29th. Also, the Fast Growth Enterprise category participants, they pay $100. They can attend the seminars, and then there is also, they're matched with a mentor. And they have this year until the end of February. February 28th is when the deadline is for the business plans in the Fast Growth Enterprise category to submit. Those are graded by screeners, four professional business people in the community, volunteers, grade the plans. Statistically, we've got 15 components. We give points for those 15 components. Basically, anybody that submits a plan is going to get feedback on their plan, whether they move on or not. And if they move on in the semifinals, they'll have 7 judges reading their plans and giving them comments and giving them more feedback. And if they move on to the finals, they will basically have this 3-minute video that is put together by our sponsors, Dynacor and Nate. And then they will present at the final event, which will either be the end of April or early May. We're still looking at that final event and how that will shape up. But they will probably present to a luncheon, and we're going to see how big that luncheon is going to be as we're planning the thing.
Now, this is the fifth year for the Venture Prize, and you're developing quite a track record. What would you consider some of your successes?
Well, we actually had two successes in the launch tonight that were mentioned. We had the people that won last year, Pro Exams. They were announcing that they did get some equity investment in their firm, but they were announcing that just going through the process, how that benefited them in positioning their business, and they changed their business quite considerably after having the experience with the feedback they got from the business plan they submitted and the conversations and questions they had from the judges. And in fact, they ended up selling 7.5%, I guess, of the business to one of their major customers. But it was on the basis of the fact that their business plan had been reviewed by so many professional people, and basically they had won Venture Prize, and it was an endorsement of what they were doing. The other person that presented was Stephen Sutsky of the Scanometrics, who won the first Venture Prize, and he announced an additional investment of, I believe it was $6 million into the firm. And he basically talks about how Venture Prize, again, had been very instrumental in helping them build the business and reaching the point they have now, and as well as talking about how much the community is. We're up to over 100 professional volunteers within Alberta that help us put Venture Prize together, and those networking opportunities and the mentoring and the screening and things like that really makes it part of the fiber in the community.
Thank you very much, Jay.
Okay, thank you.
That was Jay Kreisler, Tech Edmonton's project manager for the Venture Prize Business Plan Competition. Next May, the who's who of the World Wide Web will gather in Banff for an international conference that focuses on the latest technologies and ethical issues surrounding the Internet. Dr. Kerry Williamson is an iCore professor in computing science at the University of Calgary, and for the last 3 years, he and his colleagues have been working hard to organize this prestigious event.
It's called the 16th International World Wide Web Conference. It is a large international conference that attracts about 1,000 people who are all interested in web technologies and the applications of the World Wide Web.
Where else has this been held?
This conference moves all around the globe. The most recent ones have been in New York City in 2004, in Japan in 2005, and most recently in Edinburgh, Scotland, a couple months ago, 2006.
What is it that you try and accomplish at these conferences?
These conferences are sort of the the fertile ground for the interaction between academics and industry and government and web developers and standards bodies who are all setting the course, setting the direction for the future of the World Wide Web. So it brings in major players, people like Tim Berners-Lee, the original inventor of the World Wide Web, the World Wide Web Consortium, major industry players like Google and Yahoo and Ask and Amazon. They're all going to be there as part of this conference. It's a chance to foster those hallway discussions about web technologies and where the future of the web is going.
What are the issues that you want to address in the one that's coming up in Banff?
I think the main thing I want to do is make sure that Alberta is really an IT showcase at this event. The event has only been in Canada once before. That was in Toronto in 1999. This is our chance to really put Alberta on the map in the ICT area for web technologies. There's many Alberta-based companies that would like to have should have a presence at this event. And I really want to make this the best one yet in the whole conference series.
But when you look at some of the issues that are facing people today, things like spam, are these kinds of things going to be discussed?
You name it, we have it there. There's sessions on web browser design, sessions on web privacy, web security, identity theft, sessions on the semantic web, sessions on web search, data mining, security, privacy, reliability, ethics, the wireless web, pervasive web. You name it, we have it.
Now, I see you have some deadlines coming up, and one of the first ones has to do with presentations in November. What's that all about?
A big part of the conference is called the refereed papers. Those papers have to be submitted by November 20th. They spend about 3 months in the review process with a technical program committee, and accepted papers get announced at the end of January. In addition to the refereed papers, we also run panel sessions, invited talks, plenary sessions, and an exhibition that has selected industry exhibitors demonstrating their software, their tools, their products for the web community.
And keynote speakers, do you have those lined up?
We have four slots for plenary speakers. Two of them have already been announced. We have a gentleman named Bill Buxton, who's one of Canada's leading visionaries on technology and society. We have a person named Dick Hart, who's an expert on web identity 2.0. And we have two other slots that have not yet been confirmed, but they will be high-profile international speakers with a very strong draw for the web community.
Well, congratulations on pulling this all together, and I'm actually looking forward to being there and meeting some of these people. Thank you very much, Kerry.
Thank you.
That was Dr. Kerry Williamson, an iCORE professor in wireless technologies at the University of Calgary. He's organizing the 16th International World Wide Web Conference, which will be held in Banff next May. That brings Innovation Alberta to a close for this week. The interviews you heard during this program are posted as audio files and as written transcripts on our website at innovationalberta.com. And you can keep up to date on technology and research events by subscribing to our e-newsletter, Innovation Alberta Online. Innovation Alberta is sponsored by iCORE, the Informatics Circle of Research Excellence, Alberta Innovation and Science, Calgary Technologies, Inc., Alberta Heritage Foundation for Medical Research, Alberta Gaming Research Institute, Japan Canada Oil Sands Limited, the Sustainable Forest Management Network, Alberta Ingenuity, the University of Lethbridge, Alberta Research Council, Alberta Conservation Association, and the NSERC Industrial Chair in Integrated Landscape Management. Innovation Alberta is mixed at Riverdale Recorders and is a Porcupine Stone production. I'm Cheryl Croucher.